Here we go. We're rolling on the Audible on this Wednesday afternoon. Kim Bocamper, former Dolphin tight end Troy Drayton on the side. And your old team, the Rams, got some they got a little playoff taste this last weekend, huh?
Yeah, that, it was actually pretty good for them, man.
It was. I mean, thought it was really good.
I think, you know, they're inexperienced show.
Yep.
But, you know, the fact that, you know, McVay comes in as a first-year coach and takes his team to the playoffs. You had Todd Gurley, who had a great year.
Golf
played well, and then they played in front of a great crowd in L.A. in the Coliseum.
My man Donald, that guy's a beast, man. The defensive tackle Donald.
Man.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
What a player he is. But,
absolutely.
You know, let me ask you this. You played for the Dolphins. Prior to that, you were drafted and played for the Rams. Were they in L.A. when you got drafted, or they were in St. Louis?
No, we were in Anaheim.
Yeah.
We're actually in Anaheim, playing at Anaheim Stadium, and then we actually went to –
years were you in Anaheim?
2 years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and then I moved to St. Louis. I made that transition to St. Louis. I was there like a year and a half.
Yep.
Then I got traded to the Miami Dolphins.
So you still kind of keep an eye on the Rams. It's hard for me. Look, I grew up in the West Coast. I'm a Northern California guy. It was 49ers versus Rams.
Yeah.
And that was a big rivalry. And I was brokenhearted when the Rams left LA. So I'm really happy that they're back.
Yeah, me too.
It kind of getting some of that persona back, went to the whole white, the white Rams, horns on their helmets, and get away from that other gold and stuff that really was never part of their uniforms around Cali, you know. So
yeah, you know, I actually watched, I had a chance to see Jackie Slater and those guys, so it kind of brought back memories because I had a chance to play with Jackie when I was in L.A. and in St. Louis. So I'm glad to see that they're doing well. I mean, they found a great young coach, a guy who he takes – The team kind of adapts the personality of the coach.
Yeah.
And you can see that group is a very smart group. They're physical on defense. They're efficient on offense. They're going to feed the ball to Gurley, and they get it done on special teams.
Yeah. So, yeah, good to see him out there. Good to see him get some experience. Hopefully we can get some of that experience ourselves here next week. Troy, I know you're involved in a lot of youth stuff, so let's kind of get to that before we get on. And, look, you guys can send your questions in. We'll get into your questions, talk about anything you want in the program. If you're on Facebook, just send it through the Dolphins Facebook page. If you're on Periscope, just go down to the bottom and message yourself over here, and we'll get to your questions here. But this Friday at Western High School, it's the annual Dade Broward All-Star Game.
Yeah.
I know the Dolphins are heavily involved in that, and it's going to be a nice opportunity to see up here in Broward County some of the best athletes, certainly in South Florida, and if you say that, some of the best athletes in the country playing football, right?
Absolutely. I mean, if you're talking about an intense rivalry,
yeah.
I mean, I don't think there's more intense rival than Dade versus Broward County, and this is some of those kids who have an opportunity to get schools to get their last look at these kids and maybe offer them a scholarship, but it's always a heated rivalry. Yep. It's always an intense football game, and it's always close games. Now, I have to admit that Dade has dominated the last. I think they're probably like 7-1 when it comes to this football game. But Broward stepped up a couple years ago when Devin Bush was their head coach when we were at Flanagan High School and hosted it. But, you know, I think Broward has a great coach in Adam Rakovich, and Dade has a great coach when it comes to Tim Neal. Yeah. So I expect fireworks when it comes to this football game. And if people want to see, you know, some good high school football, come out to Western High School, and you know, we have a great sponsor in Broward College. So come on out to Western High School at 7 o'clock. We'll be out there. And
595, 136th Street. Head south, and you can't miss it on the left-hand side of the road. And what's the game, 7 o'clock on Friday?
7 o'clock Friday night.
We're going to be out there with the Audible on Friday prior to the game, so we'll get a chance to be out there. But yeah, it'll be a really nice opportunity for people down here, and I'm sure a lot of the parents with their kids obviously are going to be there. And you know, over the last month or so of the high school season, I got a chance to get out to go to a couple football games. I went to one of Pat Surtain's game over at American Heritage when they played Cardinal Gibbons, and I tell you what, I don't get to sit and watch a full game that much in high school football anymore, but I did on that night, and boy, it's just great, man. It's just, you know, because you have the families and, you know. And I'm sitting there listening to, like, there's some family behind me and their kids on the team. And, you know, he's not playing. And the whole time I'm going, they should be playing Jimmy. They should be playing Jimmy. You know, like this. Meanwhile, the guy that's playing is like, you know, he's a D1 going to, you know, he's going to Alabama or you know, or LSU or somewhere like that, you know. And Jimmy's about 5'4", you know, 135 or something, you know.
I think it doesn't get more intense. I mean, when you're talking about parents who are passionate, they're passionate about their kids playing, and you're absolutely right. You might have a 5-star guy playing in front of their kid, but they still feel like their kid is playing. So, and we've hosted some with the Audible. We've been at some great football this year, and when you're talking about what Patrick Surtain has done, I mean, he's been undefeated for 2 years and won 2 back-to-back state championships, and then you know St. Thomas, of course.
We did American Heritage.
Yeah.
We did American Heritage and Cardinal Gibbons, which was a great matchup between two very good football teams. They met back again for a chance to go to the state, and Cardinal Gibbons was running away from him in the first half, and Heritage came back and you know, with a crazy comeback and won that football game. But then we also saw St. Thomas play Cardinal Gibbons in another matchup of two very good football teams, and then you go down to Dade County, you know, in the games with Northwestern that we saw, and you know, all the different teams we saw down there, Carroll City, Miami High, all those games. So it really was a good year, I think, Joe. I mean, Joe, I'm used to talking to Joe when I'm talking about college football, but Troy, it really was a good year, I think, from our standpoint with the Audible and with the Miami Dolphins.
Absolutely.
To really kind of continue that bond with high school football down here in South Florida and get out to the venues, what was really nice.
I think one of the things that we did, you know, we didn't go to all the premier games, but we highlighted teams that may not get a lot of headlines in the papers. So I think that was a great thing that we did. And we even saw Western and Miramar.
Yes.
So Western and Miramar had a pretty good game, and the consequences of those games.
They kind of were.
That was
fighting,
a good football game.
And Western looked like you know the Miramar knocked Western out, so they couldn't win the division.
Yeah.
And then Western came
going
back
on.
And going
yeah.
on. Yeah.
yeah.
So it was always good. So then we went saw. I remember we went down there early on. Went down to North Miami.
Yeah.
Saw North Miami play down there at that stadium. Mm-hmm. I think it was great. I think it was good to get out there and good to expose ourselves in the program to high school football, but more importantly, expose high school football to the people out there that are watching the program.
Absolutely. And you know, and the good thing about it is, you know, we were there. We interviewed their coaches. Yep. I mean, you have a lot of great coaches who have great personalities, and I think we were able to highlight that on the Audible as well. So, it you know, I don't think people really understand the depth of the high school football and the talent and the pretty much – you know, the quality of coaching.
Yes.
We have a lot of great coaching down here, and we were able to highlight those coaches and administrators
well. And that's the other thing. You talk about the coaches, you know, that you got a chance to talk to. But the administrators, because I always like to talk to the administrators because, and look, everyone's in the same rowboat heading in the same direction, right?
Absolutely.
Some may be weaving around, but they're all heading in the same direction. And coaches are all about player student athletes.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get the administrators, they're certainly more in that student part of it.
Absolutely.
Because you know they're just that's what they do. And it was really it was nice to hear them talk about their schools and how the kids work to be able to play football and make sure they're doing what they need to become scholar athletes and be guys not everyone's going to go play college football.
No, absolutely.
And so those that can get an opportunity to go to college. You know, make sure they got the grades to get to college, and that's what those guys are. You know, that's what they're caretakers of those kids to make sure they can get them to the next level, not only from an athletic standpoint, but from an educational standpoint. And I think the investment we saw in that over the course of the season was something that was really refreshing to see.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, you have a lot of schools here that are grade A schools, and I think we were able to highlight not only the athletics but the academics.
Yep.
So I think this year was groundbreaking for what we've done because I think we covered the gamut from the administrators to the coaches, and we highlighted some great schools. So I'm looking forward, you know, to potentially doing this thing again next year.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the other thing that I wanted to touch on, Troy, was when you talked about the coaches. You know, coaches down here. In the public schools down here, they're not making a whole lot of money.
No,
You know, the vast majority of them are teachers, so they got to teach, and that's where they're getting their main. And they may pick up a couple thousand, a few thousand, to be a head coach of a football team, and that's a lot of work. It's a lot of effort that they, but they do it, and they do it well, and they give everything they got to those kids. And I say that because I know there are other states, Alabama, Texas,
yes,
Ohio, some of these other schools that they're paying up for coaches. Those guys are making six figures. They're making some big change out there coaching, and these guys aren't.
Yeah.
But the effort in the job they do is certainly of equal caliber of anything you would see outside of the state.
Absolutely. I mean, when you think about what they're investing in these kids, I mean, a lot of these kids, you know, some of them don't have, you know, fathers at home. They come from single parent homes, and you know, the person that they see the most are their teachers and their coaches. So, you know, I take my hat off to these coaches here in South Florida and all the coaches that are coaching high school football because ultimately they're the caretakers of the future. I mean, those are the guys who are pushing these kids out and teaching them the right lessons and the lessons they need to know to go on to the next level, whether that's in life and or going on to college as well.
Yeah, the other thing I remember talking to some of these guys and off the air and you talk to some of these coaches, some of the coaches are getting them and they're picking up a guy or two. You know, they have no way to get in, bringing them to school, doing all those types of things. So, yeah, it's really good. Let's kind of shift our attention now with Troy and let's get to the Miami Dolphins. I haven't had a chance to talk to you much lately about this, but go through the season. It was an up and down season, obviously. It was a tough season for this football team. And look, I say it all the time, and not to make it as an excuse, but I think the year that these guys went through, the distractions, all the hurricane, the players, you know, one guy going AWOL, one guy getting arrested before, you know, a couple days before a game, so he goes, and you had coach problems, you had everything going on. Travel from L.A. for 10 days to London, So it was a tough season, I think, for this team to get traction and get it going. And then, you know, then you add to that the injuries of Ryan Tannehill.
Absolutely.
Ted Larson early.
Yeah.
You lose Raekwon McMillan in the first kickoff of a preseason game. You lose him. So a lot of things hit this football team in the gut. And I think the thing that I look back, Troy, is the one thing I'm proud about of this football team, watching these games, guys never quit. They played hard, and they didn't always get the results they wanted. But I just, you know, and I've talked to people out there, they go, those guys, they didn't even care. I go, well, I don't know. I stood by those guys and watched them every single game.
Yeah.
I saw a lot of guys that cared. Saw a lot of guys putting a lot of effort, and I didn't see very many guys out there that were just throwing their helmet out there and rolling on the field.
Absolutely. I think the difference between a couple years ago and this year, last year, of course, we made the playoffs.
Yep.
And, you know, Coach Adam Gase put in a lot of effort. He changed the route of the football team.
Yep.
I mean, we were winless, and then now we go on this win streak, and this team is starting to gain confidence and momentum, and we make it to the playoffs. And this year, you mentioned all the distractions, all the things that happened during the course of the season. One thing that I've seen in this football team that they were very consistent at is they were consistent at giving 60 minutes of effort.
Yes. Yep.
And I can't say that a few years ago about our football team, but one thing that I know is that, you know, they were going to prepare, they were going to put their best foot forward, and the only thing, you know, Coach Gase makes it really simple.
Yeah.
He asks you to be on time.
Yep.
And he asks you to play hard.
Yep.
I mean, and if you break those two rules, you can't be the smartest person in the world. So I think what he's done here has given this team an identity.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what he's done here is he's one of those coaches. He's a player coach, but he has an old school soul where he's a disciplinarian, and he doesn't care. If you break the rule, you knew the rules to begin with. You break the rule, there's consequences to the rule. So I'm just looking forward to seeing how this team is going to do in the offseason, more importantly, going into next year, because one thing that I know is that Coach Gase wasn't satisfied. Yep. I don't think this team was satisfied. And I think if you're the type of player that I think that's on this football team, you have a bad taste in your mouth.
Yep.
And the only way to get that taste out of your mouth is get back out on the football field, work your behind off, and win football games and let people know that, hey, you know, last year we're not going to make any excuses, but this year we're going to wipe the slate clean. We're going to come out and play hard, and we're going to be the type of football team that you saw a couple years ago that was in the playoffs.
Yeah, there you look and you look back and you do this. Look, you do every team that didn't make the playoffs does the same thing. You look back, you know, that's a game we should have won. Yeah. That's a game we should have won. We gave that game away. We gave that game away. And you take two or three of those games and put them on the other side of the ledger, and all of a sudden you're where you want to be. So the fine line in this league between winning and losing is very, very
thin.
Very thin. There's no doubt about that. Another thing I saw, there was an article I read today. I forget it was in the Herald or the Sun Sentinel. And it was talking about the success that some of the former people on the Miami Dolphins, Rick Spielman, Jeff Ireland, some of the coaches that have gone other ways, other places. And as I'm reading it, and I'm thinking to myself, because this has been one of my pet peeves with fans for the most part. Mm-hmm. And fans, no matter what, no matter what you believe, I do think that the fan voice certainly affects teams and what they do player-wise and coach-wise. And more so from a coaching standpoint where we got to get rid of that guy. We need a whole new staff of coaches. And I think one of the reasons why the Dolphins have got into this situation they've been in for the last decade or so, you don't give anyone a chance.
Yeah.
You don't give a guy to come in. Look, everybody comes in. Adam came in and started changing around and getting guys that he likes that fit what he likes to do, right? You know, I go back to Tony Sperano.
Yes.
You know, Tony came in with Bill Parcells. They wanted big, strong NFC East.
NFC East, yeah.
Grind it out so they start to put that team together.
Yes.
And then after 3 years, they're going, they're not winning. Get this guy out of here. And now, so you bring someone else in, and Joe, now he wants something else.
Yeah.
So now you got to unload those guys. So you take, you know, you may take one step forward, but you take three steps back. And to me, from a fan standpoint, I know it's tough at times. You got to be a little more patient, man. You got to let these guys. And the reason I bring up some of these other guys' names is Rick Spielman. He's been in Minnesota for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, and he's gotten the time. He's gone through some tough times. Yeah. They stayed with him. They believed in him. And look at where they're at now.
Yeah.
You know, they're one of the teams that's one of the favorites to go to a Super Bowl this year with the job that he's done
up
there. Jeff Ireland down in New Orleans, same thing, giving him time. And some of these other coaches that have gone elsewhere, they've given them time. And so I think, you know, that's the point I'm getting at, too, with fans of the show or people that watch the show. Is, you know, don't be so knee-jerk. Let's let this guy go through the process. Let's let him finish the process.
Yes.
If you're down now, you're 5 years from now, and it's not now then, to me, give the guy 5 years and see. You know, who knows? 5 years from now, we may be talking. We may be sitting somewhere, you know, getting ready for, you know, the division championship game or something here at this about around this point in a couple years. You never know. But I am one thing you will know. You won't know if you don't give him a chance to finish the job. And that's kind of been my conversation that I have when I run into fans out there now. Because believe me, there's a lot of people I run into that last year were saying, hey, Adam Gase, man, he looks like Shula to me.
Yeah.
And now they're going, hey, why don't they get rid of that guy? You know, same guy.
You know what? I hate to say this, but you have to look at one team.
Yeah.
And you have to look at one team and what they've done. They've gone through a process. Well, you have to look at the Patriots.
Yeah, but I would say this. I agree with you on that.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh Steelers.
Same thing. Absolutely.
Dallas Cowboys over the years.
Same thing.
Same thing.
Seattle Seahawks.
Same thing. I mean, there are teams out there. Now, not many have done it the way as long and as consistently as New England's done. I would say that the next team to New England for duration of that would be the Pittsburgh Steelers, right?
But they have a process that they had to go through.
Yep.
They had to get their guys in. But the main thing about it is you have to stick with the process.
Yep.
You have to trust the process. There are going to be ups and downs during the season. There are going to be ups and downs during the course of the time that you have these people here. But you have to go through that to get to the through to the other side.
Yep.
And when you look at teams like New England, when you look at teams like the Dallas Cowboys and the Seattle Seahawks and the Pittsburgh Steelers, and now the Minnesota Vikings is that football team, you're saying, how did they get there? Well, they got there by sticking to the process.
Yep.
There is a plan that they have in place,
yep.
and they stuck with that plan because they wanted to get their guys in there who understood the system.
Yep.
They wanted to get the guys in there who fit the system and guys who kind of exude the personality of the head coach and the playing style. And that's exactly what you have.
Yep.
So I think you're absolutely right. When you look at these teams who are now the top teams in the NFL, there is a process that they go through. And you have a couple guys that were here who are now went through the process other places, and now they're successful. Yeah. Their teams are now going. One team had a bye week and is now in the second round of the playoffs, and the other team played to go to the second round of the playoffs. Yeah. So you're absolutely right.
That's kind of my point. Just this, you know, give these guys time. You know, I think everybody that's met Adam Gase believes in Adam Gase. I think he's got a good coaching staff out there. I think he's put a good group of people together. I think he's the type of coach that fits this era of football players.
And absolutely.
That's the other thing I was going to talk about, Troy. You kind of went through the beginning of free agency.
Yeah.
I think you – was Plan B – did you get into Plan B? Was that
– No, I got in after Plan B.
So you got into regular full-blown free agency. Yes. I never got – you know. So, but my question to you is, now it seems like from the outside looking in, from an outside guy that was never had free agency available to him, to now where it's available, especially the way it's gone nowadays, is that everyone asks me, well, how come they can't be like more like Coach Shula? How come they can't be like, you know, like Chuck Knoll or Tom Landry or Paul Brown or those guys? And I said, well, to me, the reason you can't be that way is because of free agency. Because if I go in, I sign with a team for a couple years ago, you know what, I ain't playing with this guy no more.
Yeah.
Every time I turn around, he's up my ass. he's busting my balls. He's calling me this. What do I need this for? I can go somewhere else, make just as much money and go somewhere else.
Absolutely.
Whereas back in the day, you had to take it. You had to take it.
Yeah.
But if you took it, the byproduct was you end up winning a lot of football games.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
And you know, I think you have to adjust with the time. Like, you guys paved the way for us to have free agency. And
well, look, just like the guys before us.
Absolutely.
Guys before us, you know, they laid it all out there on the line, made no money. But they went on strike.
Yeah.
They did all the things that set it up for us to be more prosperous when we played, for you to be more prosperous when you played, and for these guys that are playing right now.
Absolutely. And I don't think a lot of people really see how much football has grown. I mean, from the time – you know, the guys, you know, who paved the way for us, and you guys paved the way for us, and we've paved the way for the future, and the future is paving the way for the coming future.
Yeah.
But, you know, when I look at that and I say, hey, you know, sacrifices have been made on both sides.
Yep.
And I think at the end of the day, when you look at the free agency, I think free agency is one of those things that has hurt the game in a lot of ways, but it's also – helped a lot of people's families.
Yeah.
I mean,
oh no
question. You look at what the era which Don Shula and those guys had a chance to be in, and they adjusted to the system.
Yeah.
So right now we're just adjusting to the system. Yep. I mean, and we're going to continue to adjust it to the system because the system continues to change.
Yeah, I got no problem with free agency.
Yeah.
I think it's just created a situation where coaches have to adapt.
Yes.
Because now players have the ability to move around a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
And look, I've got to be a disciplinarian. I've got to get this team playing the way I need it to play. But I've also got to be a guy that, you know, that can pat a guy in the back, let him know we care about him, let him know we like him, we want him here, and all those types of things. And just to keep yourself where you want to be from a player acquisition and a player movement standpoint.
But I think that's when you look at Coach Gase. That's one thing that I admire about him because he truly understands his guys.
Yes.
When you look at some of these coaches, they understand their guys. They understand the personality of their guys. But they say, hey, we'll give you the freedom, but you have to operate within these parameters.
Yes.
And you know, when you sit down and you talk to Coach Gase, you know that he knows these guys.
Yep.
He knows their personalities. He knows what makes them tick. And he's able to push those buttons to get them to play and to push them in the direction that he wants them to go.
Yeah, and if you don't think he's a disciplinarian, talk to Jay Ajayi. talk to
anybody on that football team.
Dallas Thomas. Talk to those guys that have, you know, come and gone and just say, look, we'll find someone else to take your place.
And absolutely.
If you don't want to follow the pattern. So anyway, I don't know why I got off on that tangent, but that's where I was. And look, there's no games. We're in the off season's upon us. So I just start putting bullshit out there and let it carry us through the show here. Well, let's get a couple questions here on Facebook. Kaleska, this is the first time I've ever think I've ever seen his first name. Ignashka Kaleska. What's the chance of him being from somewhere other than our country sending this in? Huh? Ignashka Kaleska. That kind of sounds like Eastern Bloc name or something out there, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway, who do you think has the worst regret of not winning a Super Bowl? Dan Marino, or Jim Kelly?
Wow, that's a tough.
That is.
I think that's a tough thing. I think to go there five times and not win it is a tough thing. But to get there and not – I think to get there and not win it, period, is the toughest
it's
thing. It doesn't matter how many times you go.
Yeah.
If you don't win it when you're there,
but let me tell you what. I had the great. I played on some great teams with some great football players, and we had the opportunity to go twice.
Yeah.
And we lost twice.
Yeah.
And I can guarantee you this: I would rather have not gone to either one of those than to go and lose. Is that
absolutely
painful, man?
Yeah, I know.
It is that painful. So, you know, I know Danny. I know it gnaws at him.
Yeah,
every day. But the same for Jim Kelly.
Oh,
They're both the same guy.
Yeah.
They're both tough guys from Pennsylvania right?
Yeah.
They compete, and when they don't win, they're pissed and the whole thing. But I'll tell you this, and I say this to everybody that talks about, and I believe it 100%, one of the greatest accomplishments I've seen in the National Football League was the Buffalo Bills going to four straight Super Bowls. To me, that's like walking a tightrope, right, for 4 years, and you can't fall off. You can't stumble off of it. And so, to me, I know they didn't win. I know they're going to be, you know, I know what people talk to about, but to go four straight years.
Yeah. That's an accomplishment
itself. That's an amazing
accomplishment
by those
Absolutely.
Guys. Yeah.
Absolutely. I think both guys, they're both have regrets.
Yeah, no doubt.
It's tough.
And Jim Kelly, you know, one field goal, one
oh,
that
gosh.
Ball, a little, you know, just said the
yeah.
Look,
I know. Trust me.
I have a hard time watching football. I have a hard time watching Super Bowls, just because of that.
Yeah,
because you know, you blew it twice.
Because it's like, you know, you're on both ends of the spectrum. You're like, gosh, this team is so happy because they were on the edge of their seats, and this other team, they're just like, it's like the agony of defeat.
Well, look at Georgia walking off the field Monday night.
Gosh.
Now look at that team walking off the field Monday night. Oh my gosh, man, I felt so bad for those guys, but I felt good for the kids from Alabama.
Yeah.
Not so much for Nick, but the kids from Alabama felt really good about.
Perry
Jarrell, who's a defensive player you would take in the draft to help in 2018. Well, it would be a linebacker. It would have to be a linebacker. I saw a couple good linebackers wearing that those Georgia colors the other day.
Oh yeah, flying around to the ball.
What was that one guy? 54?
Yeah,
man. I would look at one of those guys and say, hey, you know, if you're around there and when we come around,
I'm going to tell you who I saw, the kid from UCF, the kid, I think his number was number 3. He was a kid who flew around the ball. I think he had an issue with his hand or something like that.
Oh, yeah, 14.
Yeah.
14, the kid was born without his left hand.
Yeah.
Or right, yeah.
Let me tell you
Unbelievable,
something.
Man.
Let me tell you
Unbelievable
something. You're talking about
kid.
A guy flying to the
yep.
ball
yep.
with reckless abandon.
Yep.
Like, that's what you need when it comes to your linebackers. You want guys that are going to fly to the ball. You want guys that – on that ISO, they're going to step down to that hole and take on that fullback or take on that guard or any of those things. You need those guys who are going to play tough inside and who are going to be able to sacrifice their body. So I think, you know, anybody from Georgia, Alabama always has great linebackers.
Yeah.
But I love that kid from UCF.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, his story's great.
Yeah.
And you know, sometimes, you know, when I first saw the story, I said, oh, good, but let me see how he plays.
Yeah.
I go, oh, man, this kid can play, man. this kid's no joke.
He's flying around to the ball.
He's the real dude. Does he have a brother on the team, too? Are there two brothers that play on the team?
I'm not sure.
His brother graduated, but they both played at UCF, right?
Yeah.
That's another thing. Now, they're poking their chest out everywhere with that national championship talk, huh?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, and it's unfortunate.
It is.
I think they have – they really –
They got a beef, but it's that
– But you know what the great thing about that is that their AD is paying their staff as if they
won
a national championship.
Yeah.
So I like that gesture because, in all fairness to them, they were undefeated.
Yeah.
Nobody looked to them to be
they,
in a
they
BCS,
beat everyone that lined
BCS
up in front of them.
Football game.
You lined up 12 teams against us, and we beat every one of them. That's all we can do.
Absolutely.
All we can do is beat who we're playing, man. That's all.
But I tell you what, they got a hell of a coach. Nebraska got a hell of a
coach.
Yes,
he did. Yeah.
Scott Frost.
Yeah.
I got watching their last football game. Like this guy split time between UCF
recruiting,
and Nebraska. Yeah. And, you know, he was able to give his players a victory. And those players played their behinds off of that coach. I mean, what a great story. Yeah. But, you know, when it comes to the Big Ten, Nebraska's going to be they're going to be hard to deal with Scott Frost at
the helm. No doubt. But that's the tough thing about look. You went to Penn State. You know, you had Joe the whole time.
Yeah.
I went to a smaller school, San Jose State, where you know the problem with schools like that, and UCF kind of falls into this mix.
Yeah.
I think they ended up in the top six or seven.
Yeah, they were top
six in the AP poll. Yeah. I think that's where they ended. But you go to a place like that. You go to a place like San Jose State, or you go to a place like Nevada, or these schools, you know, like that, and you win. Your coach is going to get scooped up because they all go, if he can win there, I know he can win here.
Absolutely.
You know?
I mean, and you know, when you look at what Scott Frost is put together, his resume at UCF, I mean, Nebraska, I mean, you could see why he was the front runner for a lot of head coaching jobs, and Nebraska were able to bring their
but,
guy
but,
home.
Yeah, but to go back to Nebraska and
to
for everything that he's done at Nebraska and his career there, and I think it's all when you can bring a guy like that back that's got that big of a presence within the program, and now you bring him back, one of your own, stand on that sideline. I think that's a great move by them, and so anyway. All right, so hey, Friday night, 7 o'clock, Dade Broward All-Star Game, Western High School. If you're looking for it, just look for 595 up here in Broward County, 136th Street, head south off 595. Look over to your left. You'll run across it, and good luck getting in that parking lot because it took me about 15 minutes to figure out where to park at that damn place. But I got there. I got there eventually.
Well, we got some good parking for you this time, Bo.
Troy, always a pleasure, my man.
Always
Troy,
a
great.
Pleasure. Thank you, Bo.
I'm Kim
Appreciate
Bo Camber.
It.
That's going to do it for the Audible today. We will be back on Friday. We'll be live at the Dade Broward All-Star Game at Western High School. Be on the air at 6 o'clock for that. Game time is at 7.
Yes.
Hopefully we'll see you then. Until then, have a good couple days.